Stephen, you're director of the Baldwin County Boys Ranch in southern Alabama. Now, there's quite a backstory here, but before we get into your backstory, tell us about the Boys Ranch and the help that it offers to young people.
The Boys Ranch is actually it's not only a place for kids this day, it's a place where God restores what's been broken. We are actually one of the four ranches here in Alabama. There's two boys ranches and two girls ranches. These are not just boys who have been in trouble. They're actually all boys who are in foster care, and they come from situations they didn't choose. A lot of them been through trauma and instability and loss, and we just try to give them consistency, structure, and love. But more than that, we try to point them towards Christ. If I calculated correctly, we actually had five baptisms this last year, which is a huge accomplishment for us.
How are sheriffs involved in this?
So the sheriffs established the ranch back in 1966. You know, when they were going into homes and maybe the parents were in trouble or something was going on with a situation where they wasn't safe for the child. The Department of Human Resources wasn't a big thing back then. So the sheriffs founded this place to help kids who come from bad situations. They helped found the place and get it started. I believe the first ranch was in North Alabama, and it's kind of taken off since there. And now we work hand in hand with Department of Human Resources as they get children from unsafe situations. They send us referrals and we try to help whatever kids we can.
Now, there's a story about you. You were actually once placed at the Boys Ranch as a teenager. What was going on in your life at that time?
Well, my story's a long one, and it's some hard things and some great things. So I would say that my story is living proof that God can take something broken and turn it into something purposeful. Some really hard times, and He's turned it into something really, really awesome now that I can use. But so I grew up in a home that was I was born into a broken home. So my mother had six children. Right. And she didn't raise none of them. So she'd have them with the dad and then leave, basically. And God rest her soul, she's actually passed away when she was 44. But I was one of the six children. I lived with my brother in a home. We were very, very poor. I didn't have a mother there. My dad worked, and he had some addiction issues himself. You know, food was hard to come by. We had, power would get cut off at times. There would be people around that shouldn't be around, as far as drug related and doing things like that. And so it was a really tough childhood. I stayed in trouble at school. I was picked on a lot, just for how we dressed and, things like that. And really had no stability, and no one was taking care of us. And my dad would do what he could, but he lost it, which is kind of like a plague or a curse or something on our family. Cause it's like, his dad died from a drunk driver when he's 11 years old. So he didn't have a dad in his life most of his life. And then he had kids, and then, the kind of continued the cycle of just a broken family. So
how did you actually get to the ranch?
Yeah. So then, I go through school and this and that, and I actually got on the football team in seventh grade. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2", 350 pound man. So I'm a big man. And so I started playing sports but I couldn't stay out of trouble in school. So in seventh grade, they kicked me off the football team. Right. I'm like, got nothing to do, and I'm still in trouble at school. And what the teachers don't know is that my home life is horrible. So I'm at school. I'm just struggling, man. It was horrible. So then that coach left. A new coach came. He invited me back on the team, Coach Wedgeworth. And he was like, I'll pick you up from practice. I'll take you. And he realized I had a tough home life. And he started kind of like taking me out and feeding me and things like that, and trying to help me where he can. And I met a young man on the football team, and he invited me to his house. And then I kind of visited with him. And he's like, hey, you want to come to church on a Wednesday night? I had never been to church, really. And I was like, yeah. He's like, they're going to feed us. I was like, I'll definitely be there. Can you pick me up? So they pick me up and they take me, and I meet this couple there. Richard and Pam Stewart, they wouldn't mind me sharing their names. They are really a godsend. I call them my godparents. She's since passed away from breast cancer. He's still alive, but they had connections at the ranch and they were supporters there. And they're like, they quickly found out the kind of home life I had, and they were like helping me get school clothes, and they were kind of like providing some meals for me and trying to, to look out for me and keep me out of trouble and just be there for me. But they wasn't able to take me in, to take care of me. She was struggling with cancer at the time. So they took me up to the ranch, and my dad at this time, my dad had been he had been gone for a couple of weeks with a woman that he was with, and he hadn't been home. So they took me up there to visit, and I checked the place out. And the first thing I noticed was, I'd have a bed of my own. I never had a bed of my own. I also had to share with my brother. So I'd have a bed of my own. Then I walked in, they got a walk-in pantry just slap full of food. I never had that in my house. I meet these staff, and they're super great people. And they seem like they're there, and they care about the boys, and they just have this demeanor about them that, makes you feel safe. And so I just visited. Then I went back home, and at that time I wasn't in DHR care. I should have been, honestly. DHR would be at the school always asking me questions and this and that, and I would always lie because I was scared, and so I wouldn't tell them the truth. But the we got the social worker at the ranch actually filled the documents out, got all my school records, all my information, and my dad finally came home. And I was like, Dad, I was basically like, I don't want to live no more if I got to live like this. I was like, I just can't do this no more. I'm just, I don't want to be like my family. They're all incarcerated. They're all on drugs. They're all dead. I was like, I just don't want to do this no more. And then he only needed was one signature. He signed it, and he dropped me off and didn't even walk me in. And I stayed there. It was really hard at first because of all the rules and the policies. I was not used to it. I was, I really did whatever I wanted at home, and so I was not a good kid when I first got there. But they didn't give up on me, and they loved me through it, and took care of me and showed me love that I've, never experienced before.
How did you encounter Christ? How did you come to Jesus?
So at the ranch, all the children, we all go to church on Sundays here, right? When I was here, it was the same way. We go to church on Sundays. I didn't want to go when I first got to the ranch. I was like, I do not want to go to church. I do not want to go. But there's limited staff here, so we all go together as a family. You don't have to participate, but you got to go and you got to be respectful. So that's what I did. And the Lord slowly chipped away at me. I was kind of had a hardened heart, and I had a hard time trusting, and just from all the things I've been through. And so we're attending the church, the ranch church, for about 2 years. I go, I never get saved. I hear everything. I'm not really listening, and I'm just kind of going through the motions. They actually, the youth group was like, hey, you want to go on a mission trip? We're gonna roof a house. We could use some strong guys to carry the shingles and all that. And so I go, and one of the mentors there, who's actually, it's funny now, he's my father-in-law, Donnie. He was there with me, and so on that trip we went on, we roofed a lady's house who had dementia, and so we did that, and we had a service, and then I finally surrendered my life. It was a very emotional thing for me. It was raw because it wasn't just a moment. It was, it was a surrender, and I finally like let go. It felt like a truck was on me, but when I got finally let the Lord in, and I just got saved, it felt like a huge weight was lifted off me. And ever since that day, I have really strived to live for Him in everything that I do. I'm not perfect, there's only one perfect man who walked, and I'm not him, but I have really tried to strive to serve Him in everything that I do. So that's how I come to know the Lord. And it was but I would just like to say the first time I seen God's love was here at this ranch that I'm the director at now. So it is it starts in the home. And yes, I got saved on a trip, but it started with my house parents who constantly loved me, even though I wasn't, I felt like I wasn't deserving it, but they still continue to do that.
Did you ever feel like God spoke to your heart, told you something about your life or your direction, what you should do, that you clearly heard from him?
You know what's interesting about being the director here is that I told my wife our whole entire marriage. We've been married 15 years now. I told her the only reason I would leave the job that I had before this was if the ranch ever needed me. That was very interesting. And then a few years before I became the director, I went to a men's thing at my church, and the pastor, it was a very surreal moment. He's like, "Hey, I just feel like I need to pray over you, and I have a revelation, and I want to share it with you. And you know, I don't know what you're gonna think about this, but he's like, God's gonna use you in this community. I don't know when, and I don't know what it is, but he told me to tell you this, and he prayed over me, and like my whole outlook really changed after that. Because I was like, what has God got in plan for me? You know, what does he have planned for me? And then 2 years later, the doors open here to become the director at the ranch. And at first I was like, I can't do it because it's a ministry position. No one's here getting rich. And I had a very good paying job. I was comfortable, but my desires had changed. He had changed my desires to what he wanted. And so I really started pursuing, what he wanted me to do. And as I look back, sometimes it's hard when you're in the moment to realize that he's working. But now that I'm in the position I'm in, I'm like, he was working the whole entire time. The coach from the 7th grade wouldn't let me on that team, right? Well, the new coach did in 8th grade. And because he did, guess what? I met that kid who invited me to church. I met that couple who told me about the ranch. I went to the ranch, and then I was able to get saved. And then because I lived at the ranch and because I had such a hard life and all these other things, I have an insight to be able to help these kids now do what they do. And because the job I had sent me through management training, I had the skills I needed also to be able to manage this place. So like he had his hand in everything before I even realized it. Now I look back, I'm like, he literally orchestrated all this, and I had to go through all those hard things to be able to be here at the Baldwin County Sheriff's Boys Ranch doing what I'm doing right now.
And so you can relate to everything the kids are going through.
I mean, I can, and it's and we have a special kind of relationship because I can also, and they can't say, you don't know what I'm going through, because I do. I understand exactly what I'm going through, but it's also allowed me to have some grace and some understanding, and we've been able to help a lot of kids.
So you do work with a number of kids. Does any story come to mind about a special young person or something that God did in a young person that really amazed you? Like, wow, look at this.
Well, I would say we see it all the time, and boys come here angry and they start to soften. They don't trust anyone. Then they start to open up. When they feel worthless, then they start to feel some value. But that's not us. That's God working their lives. But there is one boy. I won't share his name because I can't legally. But I will say that he come here as an atheist, and he said God would have to come down and tell me that he's real right now for me to be saved. And we had some really tough nights where we stayed up and talked and talked and, prayed and debated. And, he was just like, I'm not ever going to believe. And then we went to church kind of like I did when I was growing there. And he actually went on a trip, and God spoke to him, and it changed his whole life. And he was a great kid before, but now he's like on fire for the Lord, and he ministers to his friends. He's a kid who has a massive amount of integrity, and not only that, he has God in his heart now. And he come home from that trip, and he's like, I'm ready to get baptized. He's ready for the next step. And that was just one example of a lot of boys who have given their life to the Lord here, but that stands out because it was pretty recent, and it was a He was a tough cookie, and he was dead set on not believing, but here he is, saved today by grace and serving the Lord.
Thank you for sharing that. So if anyone reading our story or listening to the podcast would want to know, what is the best way to pray for you and your ministry and your family? What would you say?
I would say, please pray for our house parents. This is a tough position for them. They get kids from all over the state of Alabama who've never been in a normal home before, and they have all these traumas and these they don't want to trust, and so it's very difficult on them. I just, first would pray for them, then pray for these boys as they transition here, and we're a long-term care place here, and they're used to here for quite a bit, but it's a lot of them emotionally, and so I would love to have them, prayed for, and then also to pray for the Baldwin County Sheriff's Youth Ranch. We are a nonprofit, and so we live in an amazing community here in Baldwin County, and I ask that God just continue to take care of us, and financially, and with supporters, and just I believe as long as we continue to serve Him and do His work, that all our needs are going to be met here. But it is a something I would love to have prayer for.
Okay. If someone would like to know more information or come alongside to help, where can they go for that info?
We actually have a webpage. They can Google the Alabama Sheriff's Youth Ranch and see our main page. It shows all four of our ranches. They can also get on Facebook if they just want to look at our ranch, the Baldwin County Sheriff's Boys Ranch, and check us out. And that's probably the best way to get in contact and our information. I have my email, which is steven@alsyr.org, which is an acronym for Alabama Sheriff Youth Ranch. And I'm available that way. And so that'd be great.
All right. Stephen, I really appreciate you taking the time and, your transparency and sharing your heart. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I hope I did okay.